This episode of the Early Bird Brief is presented by Lockheed Martin. A far-right extremist is convicted of a charge tied to the January 6th Capitol riot, and a close call between Navy ships in San Diego. All that and more today, December 1st, 2022. Good morning, Early Birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, the leader of a right-wing extremist group was convicted of seditious conspiracy for a violent plot to overturn the election of President Joe Biden. A Washington, D.C. jury convicted Oathkeepers founder Stuart Rhodes after 3 days of deliberation and a nearly 2 months-long trial. Rhodes is a former Army paratrooper and founded the extremist group in 2009. The conviction was seen as a victory for the Justice Department in its wide-reaching effort to prosecute those involved with the deadly January 6th insurrection. Here's why it matters. Rhodes and a fellow Oathkeeper convicted in the same trial are the first people in nearly 3 decades to be found guilty of seditious conspiracy at trial. Jury selection for the second group of Oathkeepers charged with seditious conspiracy is expected to begin next week. Another important story, Medal of Honor recipient Hiroshi Miyamura died at the age of 97. The son of Japanese immigrants, Miyamura was awarded the Medal of Honor for holding off an attack that allowed an American squad to withdraw during the Korean War. Miyamura was born in New Mexico. His parents operated a 24-hour diner near the Navajo Nation, where he grew up around a diverse group of miners and travelers along the famous Route 66. He worked as an auto mechanic after high school and joined the Army late in World War II, after the federal government lifted restrictions that kept Japanese Americans from serving. Miyamura was assigned to the 442nd Infantry Regiment, composed almost entirely of children of Japanese immigrants. An Army reservist, he was called up to active duty in the Korean War. In 1951, he held off invading Chinese forces, giving his unit time to evacuate. He and another soldier were then captured. Miyamura was held prisoner for more than 2 years. Upon its release, he was presented with the Medal of Honor by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. It had been awarded in secret while he was still a POW. In other news, Palantir Technologies and Lockheed Martin have partnered to modernize surface Navy combat systems. For more on these efforts, Defense News naval warfare reporter Megan Eckstein breaks down this technology news for us in layman's terms.
Software and data management company Palantir will partner with Navy combat system builder Lockheed Martin to modernize how new combat system capabilities could be created and deployed in the future. Lockheed Martin has long built the Aegis combat system, adding in new capabilities over the years through big block updates that are backfit onto ships during lengthy pier-side maintenance periods. Problem is, the Navy expects emerging threats to come on a much faster timeline, and ships can't wait that long to gain the ability to detect new threats or patch up potential cyber issues. Palantir created a system for its own internal use called Apollo. The system is meant to help deploy new software, monitor it for problems, and quickly roll back and remediate any pieces of software that may have security concerns. By leveraging Apollo as an enabler for Lockheed Martin, Palantir is bringing two key things to this partnership: the ability to deploy smaller software updates that Lockheed Martin or a third party may develop for the Aegis combat system, and also the expertise to help Lockheed Martin's team transform into one that can do DevSecOps. Though this partnership won't actually put new code on ships for now, it will help Lockheed Martin set itself up for success in a couple upcoming endeavors. Considering what near-term upgrades to make to Aegis as the company recompetes to keep the Navy contract for the program, and consider what role the company hopes to have as the Navy moves to a future integrated combat system that will run on all of the surface ships in the fleet and be more reliant on hardware-agnostic packages of software that are continuously updated to keep up with the latest operational changes.
Thanks, Megan. Again, if you liked your conversation with Megan, then be sure to rate us and leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, the Navy is investigating what led to 2 service ships nearly colliding in San Diego Bay on Tuesday. The guided missile destroyer Momsen and the dock landing ship Harper's Ferry were the 2 ships involved. The guided missile destroyer Momsen and the dock landing ship Harper's Ferry were the 2 ships involved. The ships were heading straight towards each other before each turned left. Video posted online appeared to show the 2 crews communicating with each other to avert the accident. According to a spokesperson from the U.S. Third Fleet, both ships maneuvered to safety despite transiting in opposite directions in, quote, close vicinity. There was no damage or injuries reported. And now, here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Our team at Defense News is reporting that Hungary has expressed interest in an Israeli-made Iron Dome system with radar components expected to arrive early next year that could fit into the air defense system's architecture. The Texas Tribune is reporting that an Afghan soldier seeking asylum in the United States was arrested at the Texas border. Military.com is reporting that the Defense Commissary Agency unveiled a dedicated shopping app to help users place grocery pickup orders. Stars and Stripes is reporting that the Air Force is refuting claims that a non-commissioned officer at Ramstein Air Base bribed another airman to get a passing score on a physical fitness test. And the Associated Press is reporting that cleanup efforts are underway after a fire suppressant foam spilled at Red Hill Bulk Fuel Storage Facility near Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam in Hawaii. And on this day in history, in 1959, Antarctica was made a military-free continent. 12 nations, which included the U.S. and Soviet Union, signed the Antarctic Treaty. The treaty bans military activity and weapons testing on the continent. It was the first arms control agreement signed during the Cold War. In the 1950s, some U.S. officials were urging that the U.S. take a greater role in the debate over land claims in Antarctica, believing that the continent would be an ideal place for weapons testing. But President Eisenhower took a different approach, hammering out a treaty with the Soviet Union to make the continent a military-free zone. That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. If you liked what you heard, give us a like wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at Military Times. Also, please rate us and be sure to leave a comment. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by The Associated Press, Megan Eckstein, and Jeff Zuzulowitz. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.